Do you know what, Jen? I don't think I've ever looked better in my life. I think I'm at the peak of my physical prowess.
I think you are.
At the moment. And yeah. I would love to share that with people. I'd love people to be able to see me in the flesh.
It's selfish to keep this.
It is. This amount of radiance needs to be shared. So I thought what I would do is invite people along to see me in real life.
To be in the same room at the Museum of Comedy.
At the Museum of Comedy, because comedy is what I do most of the time.
And you belong in a museum.
No.
It was, how rude.
My self-esteem had climbed and now it's back down on the floor. But no, I love the Museum of Comedy and I'm going to go there and I'm going to take my raw magnetism with me on Wednesday the 24th of April.
Can I come too?
You can. Just try not to sort of detract from my glow, you know.
Okay.
We are going to have the magnificent Jenny Ryan, a magnificent guest.
Ooh.
TBA. Wednesday the 24th of April. Put it in your diaries. Bring your sunglasses because I am shining.
Yeah, get your tickets now. The link is in our social media or from the Museum of Comedy website.
Oh, please do come. Jen's all right as well.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What's your name?
Jenny Ryan.
Correct. What's my name?
Lucy Porter.
Correct. What are we doing?
We're making a podcast all about quizzing.
Correct. What's it called?
Fingers on Buzzers.
Correct. Hello and welcome to another episode of Fingers on Buzzers.
Fresh new ep.
And it's an exciting one for me because this is the aftermath of my impossible appearance.
Yes.
Impossible.
So we had to warm Lucy up. In the last episode, we went through the format.
It was like reanimating a corpse, let alone warm me up.
Yeah,
I'd been terrible.
In the microwave.
I'd been terrible, and you warmed me.
So that you had one appearance. You went in last show of the day, last recording of the day.
Yeah,
got the lay of the land. I think this was a good tactic for us. Mm. So you were fairly fresh, but you didn't just go in and stroll through. You were getting the lay of the land.
Yeah, that was a tactic.
The measure
me
of your opponents.
Yes. That was
getting knocked out.
Exactly.
Two
getting
impossibles.
Terrible impossible answers.
So we had to regroup.
Yeah. Which we did in the bar.
We concentrated on the marginal gains.
Yes.
So with my coach head on, it was nutrition. We got some smart salmon down you.
You did.
Brain food.
Omega-3,
all that stuff. Yeah. Hydration. There is water content in Prosecco.
There is some, a lot of liquid passed my lips last night. A lot of liquid.
But importantly.
And bubbles. Bubbles must be good for you.
Importantly, it was discipline. We packed you off to bed.
You did. I was one of the first to leave the bar, which is words that have never been said in my entire drinking career.
And we also, Amanda and I, it's not underhand tactics at all because everybody is responsible for their own, you know, how late they stayed up and how much they drank. But we were capitalising on some key opponents' lack of discipline.
You apparently, by all, producer Amanda and Jenny Ryan did some sterling work encouraging certain people to stay in the bar until 2 a.m.
Yes. Yeah. Until
when
they were
had to
basically
get up at 6:45,
yes. Crowbarred out of the bar.
I mean, I cannot believe that they're still. I mean, I was shaky after an 11 o'clock finish. I mean, if you'd gone till 2, because we were up, you know, you had to be up at 6:30. Mm-hmm. I mean, blimey. Anyway, but everyone did very well, and it was lovely. I mean, they're such a nice group of people, and everybody, almost everybody rallied. Some people were a little bit tired.
And, you know, it's nothing specifically to do with us. I wouldn't use the word nobbling opponents, but it was, it's those marginal gains. And did our work behind the scenes have an impact?
Without wishing to give too much away, I certainly did better today than I did yesterday. And I think that was largely down to you nobbling the opponents and me having almost 6 hours of sleep. So that's over 6 hours, nearly seven. So yes, I did feel much more confident today, because I think you were right. Your coaching yesterday was, it's impossible. And the thing you have to remember is just do not give an impossible answer. Play it safe.
Yes.
And I definitely did that more today. So there was a question which was, which British Olympic diver?
That's the minute I saw clause, British Olympic diver.
And I was like, if Tom Daley comes up, my finger is on that buzzer. And sure enough, Tom Daley appeared. It was not the right answer, but it wasn't the impossible answer. There was a footballer, actually, someone who I'd never heard of, but I'd equally never heard of. And it's so awful. It was at the Rio Olympics. Someone won two medals.
Jack Laffer.
So that was the question. It was Jack Lauer, Tom Daley, or Ashley Davis, I think. Mm-hmm. And I was like, right, I don't know, but I know Tom Daley. And everybody, without exception, went for Tom Daley. Yes. Everybody played it safe. Yep. And Martin Chariots of Fire, he said, I think it's Jack Lauer, but I was not going to risk it. I played it safe.
Yes.
So anyway, so we all said Tom Daley. We all stayed in. Nobody got a point. And then a couple of questions later, it was, who won Celebrity Big Brother in 2006, despite not being a celebrity?
Oh, right? Yes.
Yes. And so there was the options were Chanel, Chantel, or Chanterelle.
Well.
And I knew that one. Yep. I was like, it's definitely Chantel. Yeah. And everybody.
And
Chanterelle is a mushroom. And as Rick said, a mushroom has never yet appeared on Big Brother and never will now because it's over. But everybody got Chantel. And I did think, what a sad indictment of our society it is. You just think, poor Jack Lauer's mum is at home going, my son won two medals in the Olympics and nobody knows his name. Whereas Chantel Houghton, we all remembered her surname as well. It wasn't like we didn't, and we were like, oh, Chantel Houghton, yeah. She will be forever immortalised in our brains. Yeah. And I thought that was a massive cultural impact. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that notwithstanding, I was still delighted because it meant that I got the point. And I think I was runner up in that round. I got beaten by Jordan Banjo, who claimed that he was lucky, but he was brilliant. He was really brilliant and he was really quick. And that's the other thing about impossible that I hadn't grasped from watching it, is how important it is to lock your answer in really quickly.
Yes.
And because it comes up, so as soon as Rick starts saying answer C, you're good to go.
Ah.
And a lot of people buzzed in late because it does go, the time goes really, really quickly.
See, on the chase, it's, you're not allowed to press your button until he's finished option C.
I know. Well, and I fell foul of that when I was on, because I did, because I saw it was Steve Martin.
Yes.
And I didn't even get, so the answers, who wrote the whatever his play was, the Lapin Agile, and Steve Martin was answer A. And so, yeah, my instinct was just, the minute I saw his name, I'm just pressing the name. And of course, then Anne was, I got in trouble.
Yeah.
I got told off very harshly. The Daily Express said I got a drubbing or a dressing down. The Daily Express thought it was terrible.
The Daily Express exaggerate a lot of
things. The Daily Express are like toddlers, aren't they? They're like, they're sort of, it's the worst thing that's ever happened in my life. And it's like, well, you know.
And it is a little bit like having a story recounted by a toddler.
And then the bad lady did a thing and it was horrible. Yes, so the Daily Express in the typically restrained fashion said that I was dressed down by Bradley. But and of course it gives your opponent a really unfair advantage. And I was on the row of destiny. So the show that I did, we were all three of us from the middle row.
Middle row.
And in fact, the seat that I was sat in, both Dr. Christian and Reverend Richard Coles, they both won from that seat. I was the only person to win from that seat without a title or honorific other than Mr. or Mrs.
Yes.
I did my first grid, which was third. So Andy Oliver won the first grid. Jordan Banjo won the second grid. And then it was me, and it was going to pass to Leslie Joseph. got it wrong.
She would have been hanging on there.
She was
bated breath.
She was very good, actually. She was very good. And so my grid was, it came up and it was William the Conqueror, Edward the Confessor, Philip the Navigator, Alexander the Great, Canute, the whatever Canute was, Eric the Red, couple of others anyway, and I was like, so it came up and I thought, this is gonna be, they're all rulers, it's gonna be British, I think. Sure enough, which British king? So I got all my impossibles out,
good,
knocked out Eric the Red and Alexander the Great and Ivan the Terrible was the other one. Anyway, five of those gone, and then the question was which British king was married to Matilda of Flanders.
Nice.
Well, you say nice.
Yeah.
I panicked I thought, so I vaguely in my head had something that there was, that it was William the Conqueror. That was just my gut.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, and then his son was William the Second, wasn't he? And I had a feeling that then she was involved somehow. Anyway, I had a feeling. You'd be able to tell me what the actual story is there. But yeah, so I had a feeling and I went for it and it was correct. So that was good. And then I was in the final with Jordan and Andy, and basically I didn't do that well, and I got the Duckworth-Lewis method. In which sport is the Duckworth-Lewis method used? And my gut said cricket, and what came out of my mouth was rugby.
Oh.
In a really mad spasm of where did that come from? Why did I do that? And it was my head went, oh, hang on, you thought it was cricket, but no, maybe it was rugby. It happens to all of us.
In that moment, you don't understand.
Stupid.
You might have heard something differently.
I don't know.
There's like a brain processing
thing. It was a glitch. It was a glitch, and I don't know where it came from, because I knew it was cricket 100%. But anyway, so I didn't actually have a great final, but Jordan did me a massive favour because he said that something was impossible when it wasn't and knocked himself out, and I think he'd got another impossible, so he'd taken a lot of points off me and Andy, but then she got something else wrong anyway, so blah. So kind of lucked a bit through in the final, and then the last question, the grid came up and I was absolutely cock-a-hoop because the things came up, and it was, the first thing was Just Good Friends, Faulty Towers, Duty Free, Open All Hours, Porridge, On the Buses, Drop the Dead Donkey, the British Empire, something else anyway. And I was like, this is me, Home Free, it's sitcoms. And I was looking at it and I thought, it's going to be which ones are BBC and which ones are ITV. Yeah. And so then it came up, which BBC sitcom? And I'm like, I am absolutely Home Free. I feel them. I can smell the pound coins. I'm bathing in the pound coins. But then it said, which of these were from the 1970s? Which of these BBC sitcoms was from the 1970s? And I, for some reason, looked at the grid and I picked Just Good Friends. And I think that was the first one I did. I can't really remember now. But so immediately I picked it. I thought that, no, that's totally wrong.
As soon as you say that, that's locked in.
Yeah. So Porridge and Faulty Towers, which I was 100% sure about.
Mechanic.
And the minute I think I still had time left, and if I could have taken it back, I would have said, no, not Just Good Friends. It should be Open All Hours was the other one. And I knew it, but it was too late by then and I'd made the mistake. And didn't help that all the bloody people trying to help me. So you've got the other celebrities and they're all trying to be helpful.
Yeah.
And somebody was going, on the buses. And I'm like, no, it was ITV. I know that's not one. But that's in your head. Also, there's like this bar, the time bar is going across and you know it's going across, but you're not aware of that.
Register it.
Not at all. So I had no idea how much time had elapsed, how much time I had to go. And it was that really awful, heartsick feeling of, if I had just taken my time, I would have got it, definitely. And it's not that I didn't know, it's just that I kind of blurted out the wrong thing. So massively frustrating. I'm sorry to the listeners that I've had to relieve that in such painful detail, but it's been great therapy for me.
Yes.
And hopefully an insight into the awfulness of the quizzing brain. But it was a real roller coaster, that one. It was because it's very long. Mm. Bits of it, you're sort of slightly bored because you've been knocked out, yeah. And so you're sitting there going, "Well, I've got no skin in the game now." So it's sort of hard to maintain focus. But then you can be back in.
Yes.
And then, oh God, and then, yeah, and the grid is really horrible. That's really high pressure, quite intense. Final round, actually not so bad, because that's a format I'm used to. That's like the end of 15 to 1 or something, where you're kind of, it's three of you and you're sort of head to head. It's on the buzzer, it's fine. And then the final question is like Pop Master 3 and 10, which I always find really stressful.
That is the stressful bit.
And it's that quick. Yeah. I mean, it's that quick that you just don't have any time to think about it. So all in all, I would say, I say this not lightly, Impossible has sprung to my number one scariest quiz experience. It's gone over Mastermind. Mm. I mean, The Chase was lovely. That wasn't scary.
That's not scary at all.
Weakest Link. None of them have been as scary. It's really, really intense. And I will now watch it with renewed respect for Rick Edwards, who does an amazing job, because it's a long record and he keeps it together and is wonderful. Mm. And renewed respect for the contestants, because I know how hard it is now.
Yeah. It's a little bit like a hostage situation at times. You're sitting there in the shadows.
Yes, yes, yes.
Just waiting.
Wondering what went wrong with your life. Yeah. It gives you a lot of time to reflect.
Sweet release.
just yearning for the sweet release of either death or being put back in.
Or coming on with a bottle of water for you.
Yeah, yeah. I got a Milky Way at one point, which was nice. So that's the that's my full and frank account of what happened. But thank you, Jen, because I could not have done it without you.
Well, I like to think that I played my part there.
You were the wind beneath my wings. yes, it was Jen and producer Amanda were my entourage. And the fact that you didn't actually manage to make it to... I'm not going to dwell on this, listeners, but basically my victory... I brought my entourage to Glasgow thinking, right, I'm rolling three deep. This feels like being a player. And then the moment of truth when I was up there, where were you? In bed. Although you had been doing fine work nobbling my opponents until 2 in the morning, so that's fine.
Doing hard work on your behalf.
Yes, yes, yes.
No, to smooth your path to victory, which it was never in doubt in my mind, which is why I thought I can rest easy and have another couple of hours kip.
I'm glad that you were so confident in my abilities. You know, you'd obviously taught me well. But anyway, so thank you all for listening to that. And we will be having some behind the scenes chat with the lovely Reverend Richard Coles, who came in like a ninja. Mm. One episode, ninja. Whoosh, whoosh, in, out. Bush bash.
God on his side, isn't it?
Well, did you know, the big fella or lady was looking out for him, and also the wonderful Stephen Bailey, who was on standby.
He's so patient.
I know. Well, this is one of the things that people don't know about quizzes, of course, is that they need to have someone on standby in case anyone disappears or dies or you know,
gets too drunk to come in.
Or indeed is detained by...
See, we were working on his behalf last night.
I know,
well.
You were.
Poor old Stephen has been waiting here for 2 whole days.
Yes. We don't know yet if he's got on, but he's... I mean, his career is going very well in many ways. So I have to say, because I've been standby guest on things before, and it is a weird... It's a lovely feeling, but it's a weird feeling where you're like, well, I'm basically... You know, I'm hoping I will profit from others' misfortune, which is not ideal.
It's the understudy pushing the diva down the stairs
kind of thing. It is. This could be my moment. my Martine McCutcheon has got ill moment. But anyway, so we've got interviews with them and more other fun stuff in this episode of Fingers on Buzzers.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So here we are. We're in the green room, backstage at Impossible Celebrities. I'm here with the victor of the latest episode, the Reverend Richard. Hello.
Hello, Chase Lady. So exciting for me. Seriously.
What a day for a quizzer such as yourself. You came, you saw, you got all the way to the final.
Yes, but interestingly, you didn't go through to the conquered, because it was typically for me snatching, not quite defeat from the jaws of victory, but I could have walked away with £10,000 for Parkinson's UK. Mm-hmm. And it was £650, which is perfectly serviceable, but a little disappointing.
Yes, I can imagine. But you quiz as a hobby most of the time, or just when you're asked to do TV shows?
Well, it's more of a sort of desperate addiction. And the most hotly contested night in the parish is Church v Chapel quiz night, which I'm almost not allowed to do now, because not only do I take it immensely seriously, but also as the vicar, I'm not supposed to show such appalling favouritism, gamesmanship, and also rather shabby tactics.
Oh, what goes on?
It's not enough to win. Others must lose.
Right, I understand.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It sounds like my family at Christmas. Yeah.
Do you have big quizzy Christmases?
And we do, yeah. And we have to employ tactics so that there is no particular bias to any particular teams. We have to redraw the teams between rounds. There has to be not just quiz rounds, but practical rounds and charades and all that sort of stuff. We need to level that playing field.
Okay.
But I still win.
I know what you mean. I'm good on nerdy stuff, but it's popular culture, which is surprising considering I made my living 30 years ago. But I've no idea.
No. It's what interests you and what gives you passion. That's what's easiest to recall and to retain the knowledge of.
So I'm good on a team, I think.
Yes.
But if someone else can do the pop music and film, then that's... I've filmed post-1947. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'm all right.
Oh, I think that's the key to the pub quiz, in particular the team quiz.
Teamwork, yeah.
It's working out and being able to fire ideas and bounce them off each other. That's the best way. You're not you're a team player, not a soloist. Would you say?
Mm.
No.
There's one awful moment where I was doing a quiz, and it was a quiz for BBC News people.
Okay.
So everyone obviously already hates this entire cast for this anecdote, and rightly so. But it's just a lot of sort of competitive people who are engaged with the world of affairs, highly educated, screaming at each other, and me actually shouting at someone to be quiet while I desperately tried to think of the name of the head of the armed forces of Tonga.
And did you come by the answer in the end?
I did, actually.
Yeah.
But it's the only way I remember it is because unfortunately he's called Major General Twat. Seriously, honestly, is Major General Jack Twat. And that's how I remember. It might have been Fiji or Tonga, but it's a Pacific island republic.
That is a remarkable fact. Sitting by, listening avidly, is comedian Stephen Bailey, who's, as the Reverend Richard goes out, he comes in, he's going to take his place in the Impossible Celebrities lineup. What are you looking forward to answering questions on, Stephen?
Well, I'm going to hopefully... By the way, thank you for letting me crash your interview, Reverend Rich.
Cool.
I feel like that I'm going to just ride your coattails all the way to BBC One now.
I want nobody following me that closely more than you.
Aww.
Oh, you're such a charm. I can't wait. He's got a sunbed in his vicarage.
It's true.
And I'm going to... Are we announcing it? Well, that's your exclusive. And when I move in, we're also going to get a fake tan instructor as well. So I'm excited for all the trashy questions that you'd expect from Channel 5, but I'm going to bring it to BBC One. We're going to talk about celebs on the farm, returning this summer. And we're going to talk about Lady Gaga, which you didn't want to talk about. Just, I will know
I
the
didn't
ins
even
and outs.
Know she'd had a peerage.
Yeah.
Oh,
we're a great partnership.
Yeah. Wouldn't you just love to have him on your team?
Or on BBC One's Impossible Fridays at... Okay, I don't know when it's on.
Congratulations, Richard, on your victory, and best of luck, and hopefully you'll follow his example, Stephen.
Thank you. Well, one of these bastards needs to win. And then I can be on.
Right. It's that time of the show again.
It's the listener quiz. I'm feeling pretty good about this, you know, because we're going to go back to being head-to-head.
You're on a...
A versus...
You're on a wave of confidence.
I am... I'm champion of impossible. So, and I mean, you know, not technically champion.
I am...
I won.
Kind of still drunk.
I know. Well, you were doing that, nobbling the contestants, nobbling my opponents.
There was you've a lot of Prosecco.
You've nobbled yourself. That's what you've done.
I have.
You've done a self-nobble. Yeah. But good. This could
it's
be
the
my...
only action I get these days.
This could be my best ever chance of beating you in a quiz.
So
you were getting Tony Christie drunk last night. I love that. I love that you were doing that.
Lovely Tony Christie. I sang Avenues and Alleyways with him.
Oh God, we all
did his backing vocals.
We all did Amarillo this morning.
Oh,
we all did Amarillo on set. It was lovely.
That's beautiful.
And then they said, "Sean Ryder, will you sing something?" And I mean, I don't know what came out of his mouth, but it was
no. He did join in last night, and he recited, I think, two lines from Wrote for Luck, and that was it.
Yeah, I think that was it. What he did this morning as well, actually.
And there must have been some kind of remix because I didn't recognise the lyrics. Right, so we have a listener quiz.
Showbiz funny. Right, yes.
Amanda, over to you.
Yes, so this one is from Mark Armstrong. And
good
it's,
name. Very
it's,
good name,
it's a powerful name.
Solid, though. Solid. Yeah. And it's a solid theme, an Irish theme.
Oh, I have Irish blood. Do you have Irish
blood? I have very
blood?
Irish blood.
Yeah, I thought so, looking at your hair. Of course,
yeah. I'm loving the international theme that we're getting as well. So yes. I'm just going to do an appeal for, if you're listening from a far-flung place, then send in your...
Please do. The further, the better. If you're up a mountain in Timbuktu.
We need to know more about all these places and different quiz cultures.
I know, let's travel the world with quiz. I mean, also, domestic quiz is very welcome as well. Yes. Let's not, you know, put anyone off.
So, your buzzers are going to be your names.
Okay. Yes.
Do you want to practice?
I know my name.
Can you say it out loud?
Jenny.
Lucy!
Because earlier you said that you thought cricket, but you said rugby.
I know, so I'm just Jenny checking. By accident.
Yeah, okay, well, let's see how we
I
get
might
on.
Say Jimmy Cricket. Jimmy Cricket! No, it's not. I'm Lucy. That's my name.
Okay, right. So, question number one. Who wrote Sinead O'Connor's hit song, Nothing
Lucy, Jenny. Lucy, Lucy!
I think Lucy just got in there first.
Yeah.
Prince wrote
it was
that song.
It wasn't.
What's his full name? Give him his full name. Go on.
Prince Rogers Nelson, aka the artist formerly known as Symbol, something, you know, all of that. His May Purple Highness.
Which geographical feature does the Earl of Shaftesbury own in Northern Ireland?
Me, Lucy. I didn't say
me. Lucy.
Me.
Me.
Me. Me. The only thing I can think of is it must be the Giant's Causeway.
No.
Okay.
Jenny. I'm going to go for the Blarney Stone.
No.
That's in Southern Ireland, isn't it? It's Northern Ireland.
Which geographical feature?
Is it the Belfast Ring?
No.
Well, there's something ring. There's a magic ring.
There's no ring involved here.
Okay, so it's a geographical landmark.
A geographical... Please repeat the question for
I'm going to repeat the question.
I think I was having a little bit of
we all had a moment.
A moment there.
You had a little micro sleep, I think, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah.
Just a quick nap, yeah.
Question number two again. Which geographical feature does the Earl of Shaftesbury own in Northern Ireland? Geographical feature.
Oh.
Loch Ness.
Yes.
What? Wow.
Yes. There we go.
That was amazing.
Earning an entire loch.
You didn't say your name, though, so it's invalid.
Sorry. No, I already did earlier, though. That was.
I'd thrown it.
I think we'd thrown it open to all comers. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because you were going to buzz in and say that immediately.
I'm so relieved that you got that because I wouldn't have known how to pronounce what was written
how
in front of me.
How do you spell it?
It's N-E-A-G-H.
Correct, yeah.
I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, to be perfectly honest.
Loch Nash.
I think it's Ney.
Yeah.
One all. Okay. Question number three. Which Irish man won the Tour de France in 1987?
Say your name. Come on. Say your name.
No, no, I don't know the answer yet, so I'm just thinking it. The guy's
Lucy.
Name
Lucy.
Is,
it was Patrick Ryan.
That's my cousin.
I know. I mean, everyone knows a Patrick Ryan. I've got about five in my life. He's got to be worth a go. Johnny Logan. Very versatile. Does Eurovision, does a bit of cycling. Turn his hand to anything. Dara O'Brien, I mean, he's on everything.
I'm having a block on the dude.
Is it a Maliki?
No.
Dermot. I'm going through all my ankles.
It's not a very Irish name.
That's why I'm struggling with it.
Trevor Winston.
Give us the initials and then this won't count.
The initials, yeah. Okay. S-R.
Stephen?
Yes.
Stephen Roach. Roach.
Correct, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I think that's our speech.
It's pretty Irish, actually, Roach.
Didn't American. Have an O in front of it.
Yeah. No. So are you not getting a point for that? What are we doing about that?
I think she gets the point because it's, yeah. I mean, she got the surname.
I got a clue, yeah.
I'll be honest, I did guess at Stephen. I don't know if that came across.
I'm going to give you
half a point each.
All right.
We shared that.
I'll take that very willingly.
Yeah.
Okay, apologies for the pronunciation. Question number four. Pangaban. A 9th century poem is one of the oldest examples of the written Irish language, but what animal is it about?
Oh.
Blurt Lucy. It's about a rabbit.
No.
Oh, that's a nice shout. Jenny says it is a fox.
No.
Oh.
Cow.
Horse.
Keep going.
Dog.
I'll let you know when.
Sheep. Goat. Frog. I've run out of animals.
Elephant, they just somehow
cat.
Found one.
Correct, Jenny, well done.
Oh, nice.
It is written by a monk about his cat in the 9th century.
That's very nice.
But you're just ahead now, aren't you, Jenny?
Yes, she is.
Yeah.
Last
Two
question.
And a half plays one
and a half, yeah.
Yeah. Question number five, which former US president's ancestral home is in the village of Moneygall, County Offaly?
Jenny.
Yes, Jenny.
John F. Kennedy.
Oh, yeah, no. Of course it is.
They've all got Irish blood, basically.
Right,
every US president claims heritage, but he was the most proud one, I would think.
I do remember the lovely song, There's No One As Irish As Barack Obama, but I think that was
Go on. Is that your answer?
Yes. There's No One
you
As Irish As Barack Obama.
You are correct.
Yeah. Oh,
that's
lovely.
My next choice. Yeah.
Thanks for the nudge.
Well, I don't have a tiebreaker question, so
no,
I think you're going to have to share the victory. Yeah.
Well, do you know what? Since we've been through this Glaswegian experience together, and Jenny has been my coach, my mentor, and my nobbler, I think she should win this round. I think we should chalk it up to her.
Yeah, well... I was handicapping myself by still being slightly tipsy from last night.
Let's just say you won. There we go. Well, marvellous. Thank you so much for sending that in.
That
Mark
was a
Armstrong.
Nice. Mark Armstrong, thanking you.
Enjoy your name. Enjoy that name.
We are enjoying it.
Yes, so. And please continue to send your quizzes.
That was our latest episode.
Well, there we go. I had a lot of fun. I feel I've healed myself. I've talked about all my experiences.
You've unloaded
I think
all that.
We've saved me a fortune in therapy there. So thank you for that. And thank you for your mentoring and coaching. We will be back next time with all new stuff, brand new interviews. And I'll be a lot more calm. So that'll be nice. That was Fingers on Buzzers. Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Fingers on Buzzers starred Lucy Porter and Jenny Ryan and was produced by Amanda Redman with music by Kevin MacLeod and Justin Edwards. Email quiz at fingersonbuzzers.com and tweet at fingersbuzzers. Thanks for listening and don't forget to join us next time for more Fingers on Buzzers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.